Nothing damaged a man's reputation more than unruly women. Mitch Pardue knew even before he launched that he could kiss the captain's position goodbye for at least 10 years. He might even be voted out as Ranger Bowie. Even if he got them back, those fool women had cost him something he'd worked for 20 years and more. The abomination he could understand. She was crazy, even without a voice. But the girl's defection hurt. Prima had been so fond of her, and the other wives as well. She'd worked hard, and they'd treated her like one of the family. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe they'd been too lenient. Well, he wouldn't make that mistake with the little girls. That bossy one, already showing off in the weaving shed. He'd see that she didn't stay bossy. As for Patience, he'd already half-promised her as a third wife to a friend of his, but now that wouldn't do.
Why didn't the girl realize how much better off she was in my household? Why are women so perverse anyway?
He almost let himself think God had erred in creating women at all, but pulled back from that heresy. That's what happened if you started thinking about women. They led the mind astray. If they were on the derelict station, and he was sure they were, he would capture them and make an example of them. The yellow-haired abomination they would have to execute. He hated killing women, but if she escaped once, she might again. The girl? He would decide that later, after he learned exactly what had happened. When they'd finally found a witness, it seemed that a man had told her to get in the car. If so, she might not be guilty of anything but stupidity following a man's orders, which was all you could expect of a woman. He hoped that was it.
Ranger Bowie!
Pardue leaned into the cockpit to talk to his pilot.
What, Chase?
There's a weird ship out there, scan says.
Weird ship? It must be a ship the women had planned to meet.
What's our defense say?
Says it's weird, Ranger. Not anything they know. A lot smaller than a cruiser. But it could do those little short jumps like the Familius fleet.
It's looking for them. It's not a warship, or it'd have shot up our ship's first thing, same as we would. Little transport of some kind.
The worst of it was that it meant the Familius now knew where they were, and more ships might follow.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. First things first, get these women under control, or all hell will break loose.
If he'd known, he might have asked for a shuttle of space-armored troops from the Yellow Rose. Their pea suits were hardened, but not against the kind of weaponry a fleet vessel would have. Still, they'd probably hold their fire if they thought the Speaker's daughter was in the midst of it. His uncle had been one of those who'd trashed this godless excrescence in the first place. He'd grown up on the stories. They'd talked about blowing it up time and again, but always decided it might be useful someday.
Useful? Just shows what happens when you compromise on a moral duty.
He watched as the pilot brought them into the old shuttle bay. He stood and pushed his way back to the hatch.
Now y'all listen here. We're going to look for those women. Not to play around gaping at stuff or even taking the time to trash it. There's warships in system. We need to get this done and get back where we can do some good. Understand?
They nodded, but he had his doubts.
All the weapons they can have is what that guy had in his shuttle. Maybe a couple of knives, a 45 or two. And they're women, not used to zero-G or vacuum. They'll have pea suits on, probably ones that don't fit good. So we don't have anything to worry about if we use sense. Just don't go wandering off where one of them can blow you away too easy and be sure your personnel scans are set on high power.
Mitch pulled his helmet shield down, locked it, and checked the suit seals of the man in front of him. The man checked his. Terry Vanderson. Good man, reliable. Then he turned and led the way out of the shuttle's airlock. The regular airlock from the shuttle dock to the station corridor operated normally, but there was no air inside. He'd expected that. The women would have taken a tank or so from the shuttle when they left it, and they'd be low on air by now. Inside the airlock, they stood in a short corridor that ended in a T intersection. He'd looked at his uncle's old notes and knew that each arm of the station was a warren of laboratories and storage rooms. They would have to clear each of these. He looked at his scanner. Nobody near, but they would check, then close and secure each compartment.
Don't forget the overheads.
Not that his men needed the reminder. They'd been on more than one hostile boarding. Lewis and Terry peeled off to check the outer end of the arm. It seemed to take forever, but it probably wasn't more than 5 minutes before they were back. Now they moved along the corridor toward the station hub.
I can't believe this. They're just walking along like they're on a picnic.
On scan, the 20 suited figures moved in a clump, checking compartments and doors, but without any real caution. Nobody on point, nobody watching their backs.
And they're not in space armor, just pea suits. Bruin could just about take them herself if she had any kind of weapon.
They think they're up against two unarmed women. Once someone calls to tell them we're here...
Someone should have by now, unless they're not listening.
That led to questions Esme had no time to answer.
Is there someone else in the militia eager to have this mission fail? And if so, why?
The assault troops moved forward, secure in the knowledge that their armor would foil scan not specifically designed to penetrate it. Esme felt the familiar surge of excitement. She wanted to be up with them, but more important was finding Bruin and the girl. Scan showed a pair of pea-suited life signals on this side of the core, in a compartment off a side corridor. The problem would be letting them know she and the others were friendly. The armor, designed for combat effectiveness, did not have insignia in the visible spectrum. All the compartments in that wing had been checked and secured, and Mitch Pardue felt pretty good as he led his men into the central core. Careful scanning had shown nothing there. The women, if they were alive, would be huddling somewhere in the far wing, close to the hotspot where they'd had the shuttle. He felt a pleasant tension as he thought of them, of the fear they would be feeling, the helplessness. He stepped out into the wider space of the core corridor.
Let's go, boys.
They passed what had been a lounge area, the chairs now in a random tumble on the deck, and came to the control area. Here, Ranger Bowie paused. It had been a little surprising to find the artificial gravity still on. He clearly remembered his uncle talking about how they had pushed the bodies down the corridors in zero-G, and he wondered if perhaps the women had knocked the controls about by accident.
Wait a minute. I want to check on something.
They drifted across the space with him, as interested in the old station as he was. Pardue leaned over the control panel. Sure enough, the dust had been messed around. He could see what might be the marks of suit gloves here and there. He saw the gravity control panel and reached for it.
What? Lambs
to the slaughter. Should we space them now, or you want prisoners?
Can you get any ID?
Well, one of them's got that star thing on his pea suit, and he looks like the leader of the bunch that took the Elias Madero.
Yes, we want prisoners, especially that one.
Esme wanted to hear how it went, but finding Bruin was still a priority, and the scan traces kept moving, as if Bruin were deliberately evading them. Perhaps she was.
Team Blue.
Lieutenant Sweezer here.
Two shuttles approaching with unshielded transmissions. They're planning to go in and kill everyone they find.
That made no sense. And then it did. If these people were as given to factionalism as reported, then this would be an excellent chance for one faction to rid itself of the leaders of another.
They know we're here, right?
Yeah, but they think they can take you. I estimate 20 per shuttle, a total of 40. Say again, 40 armed personnel, no heavy weaponry.
That was lucky. If they'd had heavy weapons or ship weapons, they might have decided to blow the station.
Have they indicated where they're going to land?
One of them's coming into the same shuttle bay as the first. They want to get in behind the others, the ones going to come in on the end of the wing you're in.
The old pincers move.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Vicissuan, expect 40. Say again, 40 intruders in two shuttle loads, small arms only. According to backscan, they know we're here, but think we'll be easy to subdue. They've divided their force and expect to catch us between them.
Sir, plan?
Until we have Bruin and the girls safely away, that has to be our first priority. Right now it looks like Bruin is between us and the incoming shuttle, so we better move fast. Beyond that, secure the prisoners we have, and take prisoners if possible.
If they could pick off some high-ranking militia, perhaps they could avoid a battle and get the children out safely.